Leaders are readers. After interviewing over 300 experts on my podcast, I've compiled the top 30 books written by Mindset Advantage guests. You can download the list and listen to the episodes where I interview the authors at djhillier.com/30books. You can also head over to my Instagram bio to download the free ebook right now. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mindset Advantage podcast, a show dedicated to insightful conversations in a world full of sound bites. Hosted by fitness coach, performance optimization coach, and national speaker, DJ Hillier. These podcasts are designed to help you attack the gap from where you are now to where you want to be. The episodes take a deep dive into leadership, mindset, and fitness. Follow the show on Instagram at Mindset Advantage Podcast and subscribe to his newsletter at djhillier.com. So let's get to it.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is DJ Hillier, and you are listening to the Mindset Advantage Podcast. The week is finally here. In just a few short days, my first ever brand new book, Push the Sled, will hit Amazon on Saturday, April 27th. As you may have heard, this project has been a year in the making, and I am so excited to share it with you all. With the way that the algorithms are set up on Amazon, it's super important that we rack up a bunch of sales and reviews on launch day, Saturday, April 27th, as that helps us gain more exposure and climb a variety of book lists. So if you would, set an alarm on your phone to order my brand new book, Push the Sled, 7 Skills to Build an Elevated Mindset and Amplify Performance in Any Sport on Saturday, April 27th. And if you can spare another 30 seconds to leave a review, that would be much appreciated. This week on the podcast, the roles get reversed. I was recently asked to be a guest on the Post Game podcast with Joe Podolsenko to talk a little bit about me, my coaching, and my brand new book. I wanted to share the interview on this channel as it's very timely for the book coming out this weekend, and I felt like Joe and I had a really great rapport back and forth, and it gives you guys a chance to learn a little bit more about me. So be sure to head over to the Post Game podcast and check out everything Joe is doing over there as well. He is on episode 26, and he's got great things coming. Highly encourage you guys to see everything he's building on that platform. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for purchasing a copy of the book. I hope you enjoy this role reversal conversation with Joe and I. Let's go.
All right, we're live here with DJ Hillier. A couple technical issues before this, but we got it rolling, and I'm excited to chat with him a little bit. Give him so quick intro. DJ is the host of the Mindset Advantage podcast. He's got a book coming out, which we're going to dive into a lot. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about that. He's a speaker and just does awesome work. You know, he's big in the mindset space and works with high school athletes. So DJ, thanks for coming on, man. Excited to talk to you.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for the opportunity, man. I'm looking forward to the conversation today.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So I'll start real quick. You've been posting it, and I've been following you on Instagram for a bit. You post some good clips. Like, one was Aaron Donald talking about, like, talking to yourself, not listening to yourself. One that was timely recently that you were posting was Scottie Scheffler, right? Just talking about preparation and whatnot. And I know that's a big thing you hit on. So can you just go give me your thoughts on that, if you don't mind, and some of those clips, especially that preparation one. It was cool with Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, sure. So I'll backtrack a little bit, Joe. So I had the opportunity after high school to play college football. And then after I played college football, I got into the sport of CrossFit. And I don't know what you know about CrossFit, but it's a very physically demanding sport. And I was able to kind of climb the ranks and compete at a pretty high level for about 9 years. And at the end, I was trying to figure out, you know, what do I want to do after this? I still love competing. I still love training and all that good stuff. And in the middle of my career, I got into the Mindset Advantage podcast. And through the podcast, I started to find myself interviewing mental performance coaches and sports psychologists. And to be completely honest with you, I had never even heard of that field before I got into podcasting and reading some of these books. And so I was talking to people like Jim Aframal and Brian Kane and Dr. Jim Lehrer, some of the legends in the field. And it really just drew me into this idea that we can train the skill of mental toughness. And there's a whole nother facet of sports that isn't being talked about enough. Now it's being talked about more than it was even 5 years ago. But that's what really drew me in. So for the last 3 to 4 years, I've been working with athletes on the mental game and the physical game, because both are important. And so I've been traveling the Midwest, working with schools, doing the podcast, and diving into kind of what separates two athletes when you have the same amount of physical strength, the same 40-yard dash, the same explosivity, the same strength, all that stuff. The only thing that separates those two is what's between the ears. So that's kind of how I got to the point where I am now. And when you're talking about a couple of the clips, I really enjoy finding the mental performance, high level mental performance in professional sports. And so I'm always on a lookout. I like to tell people that I don't just watch sports, I study sports. And so I'm looking for who has strong minds. Who is at the top of the game in the NFL, the NHL, the NBA? And I like to use those examples to show the kids that I'm working with. And so a couple instances that you pulled out was Aaron Donald. So there's a really cool clip before the Super Bowl, actually, where Aaron talked, is a great example of what it looks like to talk to yourself and not listen to yourself. And he's hyping himself up, telling him it's game time, it's my time, this is what I work for. And the whole concept of talk to yourself, don't listen to yourself is kind of new to some people. They're kind of like, well, what does that mean? What's the difference? Well, when you listen to yourself, you're listening to that voice in your head. You're listening to the complaints. You're listening to other people complain. Where when you talk to yourself, you're more proactive. You have the pocket phrases, I call it, ready to use yes. when the battle comes, when adversity hits. You're ready to say the things that you want to say so that you're living out of principle and not just out of preference. So in my mind, it's talking to yourself, not listening to yourself, is playing offense instead of playing defense. And Aaron Donald did that and showed that phenomenally. And obviously one of the best defensive tackles of all time. Pretty cool just to capture that moment in a mic'd up kind of scenario. So talk to yourself, don't listen to yourself. It's a huge part. We are the most important people that we talk to every single day. And it's important that we have a strong, positive, and productive voice.
Love it. Love everything you just said. You said you like to watch or not only watch sports, but study sports and a little bit about professional athletes. You specialize in high school athletes, right? Like that's who you work with primarily.
Yep, right now.
Why is that? Like, why just specifically high school? Have you spoken to college athletes or professionals too? Are you looking to get into that at some point?
Just yeah, at some point,
the background of that. I'm curious.
Yeah, but to be real transparent, Joe, it's kind of like how I see this is I'm looking at it a little bit differently. And what I mean by that is every professional organization has a mental performance coach or a sports psychologist or an entire staff, depending on the club that you're with. Most colleges at the Division I level have the same thing, and it's starting to trickle down into Division II and into Division III. But I haven't seen anything at the high school level. And so, you know, getting into this, I don't know, I might be crazy, but I want to see if I can beat the rush a little bit and see if I can work with an untapped network, if you will, and get into high school sports. But plus, I had such a great high school sports career, that was a great time of my life. And I would love to go back and kind of serve that group of people, because at ages 14 to 18, it's very moldable. There's a lot of things that, you know, can go bad, can go worse. And so I want to be there to help during that pivotal part of their life. And so I think that's what draws me into high school. But I think down the road, I could definitely see myself looking into the more of the college or the pro spaces as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So your dad is he a mental performance coach as well, or he's a speaker, like a professional speaker?
Just you did your homework.
Briefly talk. Yeah, I tried. Just to talk about that relationship with him and like how that impacted what you're doing now. And I know, well, we'll get into the book a little bit because I think you co-wrote maybe with him, but yeah, just talk about the relationship with him if you could.
Yeah, we did. So I'm so blessed. I have two all-American parents. My mom, Kelly, is a teacher, and my dad, Craig, is a motivational speaker. And ever since he graduated from Mankato State University as a 22-year-old, he started his business as a motivational speaker. And he's been doing so for 34 years, traveling the country, working with high school sports leaders and sports captains. He travels all over the place. He's got a couple books out as well. And so his is more not on the mental performance side per se, but more on the leadership side. And so we've kind of collaborated together on this book and also getting on stage together and seeing if we can combine the two major pillars of performance, which is leadership and that mental side. And so I've learned a lot from him, just kind of watching him through the years. I tell people sometimes I grew up in an auditorium where I was a little kid sitting in the back row just watching my dad do his thing. And so, yeah, it's a unique profession. There's not a lot of people can say their dad's a motivational speaker, but it was sure an awesome time growing up in that house with two people who both value giving back and really value working with the youth.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, that had to be cool just to grow up and because you're surrounded by that. You're like that probably impacted how you grew up and everything like that. So that's awesome, man. Well, good deal. So just getting into the podcast a little bit. So I know it started out, we said the Mindset Advantage, but it started out as the My Fit podcast, right? If I'm not mistaken. And then it kind of evolved into what it is now. Just talk about the podcast a little bit and like what you've learned and the consistency, I think is the biggest part of it. Like you've been doing it for what, 6 years now? Some of the takeaways really from doing that for six years, man. That's cool. Yeah.
First of all, Joe, man, I just want to say from one podcast host to another, I appreciate you doing your homework and preparing. I think one of the biggest things we talk about what I've learned from the podcast, the biggest lesson I've learned from the podcast is the separation is in preparation, man. You care about what you prepare about. And so for the people that want to be podcasters out there, maybe they're thinking about starting a podcast. The first piece of advice is you got to prepare for the show because the guest is going to know if you prepared and did your homework. Going back, 5.5 years ago, I started a podcast. And back then it was a time when podcasting wasn't as big as it is now. It was still pretty big at that time. But I found myself listening to a podcast every single day. I was just consumed with this idea of learning more. At the time, it was a lot of fitness podcasts. I want to learn as much as I could. At the time, I wasn't a big reader like I am now. And so for podcasting, that was kind of my outlet to learn a little bit more. And so I remember driving down the highway one day and just thinking, why don't I just start my own podcast? I mean, how hard could it be? And so at the time, I started the My Fit podcast. Our gym is My Five Fitness. So I thought it was going to be a fitness podcast, which it was for the first probably 2 years. And then I started, like I said, getting into the more mental performance side. I said, man, I think the title of the show needs to better represent what I'm talking about. And so started the company Mindset Advantage. And that's what the show is primarily based on around is anything that has to do with mindset, leadership, and there's still a little bit of fitness in there as well to scratch my own itch. But a couple of things that I've learned, you know, I remember when I first got started, I heard from Lewis Howes say his piece of advice, and I would say the same thing to future podcasters out there that are tuning in. First, it's the preparation that we already talked about. Second is the consistency. Consistency is king in anything that we do in life, and the podcast is just this in the same breath. Whether you are an everyday podcaster, an every week podcaster, a twice a week person like myself, or maybe you're even once a month. It's the first Monday of every month. Be so doggone consistent that everybody knows when your show is going to come out. I think that's going to be a huge part of it. And then the third piece of advice that I give out when people are thinking about starting a podcast is make sure that you are very deeply curious and interested in the guests that you have on the show. If you're not, and you're kind of like, I'm not really sure if I'm into it, but maybe they have a big following. I would rather have somebody with a smaller following that I'm super interested in than somebody with a big following that I'm like, I'm not really into this, but hopefully they share and I hope it goes big. Because what happens is, Joe, the audience can read right away at a snap of a finger if you're into it or you're not into it. And so for me, those are kind of the three processes that I think about is preparation, consistency, and being super interested in the guests that you're bringing on. I would rather you have a guest that you're super interested in than one that you're not interested in and you're kind of just faking it the whole way through. Does that kind of make sense?
Yep. Makes a lot of sense. Somebody, I can't recall who it was, but somebody just mentioned that to me recently too. They're like, yeah, you're better off have pretty much what you just said, like having a guest on that you're legitimately interested in because you can hear it in the questions, the follow-up questions, or if you're just going through a checklist. Like, yeah, so I love that. Real quick, how do you prepare then for your guests?
Yeah, I would say I do a lot of preparation, probably a lot more than most people. And I know that, you know, preparation leads to confidence. I feel more confident in front of the camera when I've done the work and done the preparation. What I've kind of found a groove into is I have a lot of authors on my show. One of my values is being able to read books more. I believe that leaders are readers. And so I'm always looking for ways to read more books. Great. I have a podcast. So one of the ways for me to kind of scratch my own itch and kind of check off two check marks, if you will, is to not only record the show, but also have somebody on that's written a book. So then I read the book in preparation for it. So that's step one. Step two and three is probably I listen to a ton of podcasts that they've been on. I try to find questions that they haven't been asked every single time, because that can get boring and monotonous for them as well. So that's a part of my preparation phase, if you will. I do a lot of work just looking back on their Instagram sometimes, like you did today. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, quotes or things that they talked about. But I do a deep dive, man. I take probably, I would say, between 8 to 10 hours a week preparing for each podcast. I like to just, you know, pull out quotes or anything that they've said. What I found, Joe, is a little bit of a hack, is that if you pull out a quote or you read something that they've written on the show, just a little bit of a little side note that I just learned after 6 years of doing this, they love that. I don't know what the science is, like the neuroscience of it, but when you read back somebody's words, it somehow just lights them up and they're like, oh man, he did do his homework, or that does sound pretty good, or yeah, I like the way he's going with that. So that's been something too, where I'll have the book in front of me and I'll just literally read some of the passages and they always seem to light up when I pull that out. So yeah, those are some things. Hopefully that answers your question, but that's kind of like what my preparation looks like.
I like it. Yeah. Cause it's the same principle as what do they say? People, like, the sweetest thing for people to hear is their own name or whatever. I'm sure it's the same neuroscience behind it. If you're reading like a quote or something like that they wrote, they're like, oh my God, wow. He did his homework. So love that's it, man. Exactly right. So I want to get into quickly your just a few things, actually, then, because transitions was one, just based on, like, so I went back, like we're saying, I listened to a few of your episodes just recently. You had on Eric Wood, who was an awesome guy, and he was just talking about transitioning, because I know you're in a big I guess phase of that in your own life. Like, you had a kid, you have this book coming out, like there's a bunch of stuff going on. Can you just talk about that briefly, like transitioning from being the CrossFit athlete that you were and now kind of in a different phase of your life, just how that's going in general?
Totally. Yeah. I appreciate you asking, man. That was a phenomenal podcast and conversation. So Eric Wood, just a little bit of background for listeners, is 9-time NFL player. He played a center for the Buffalo Bills. He was a Pro Bowler, one of the best Buffalo Bills really to ever put on the uniform. And I got a chance to talk to him because he had a transition in his life where he wasn't really ready for it, but it was a career ending injury that forced him to step away from the NFL. And so, just like we were just talking about, Joe, I try to find people to come on my show that not only do I relate to, but also maybe we're going through similar things. I mean, to be completely honest, I'm having people on the show, I'm not really thinking about my audience. I'm thinking about me. I'm like, what questions do I want answered? So I think, you know, I've been looking for a while for somebody to come on and talk about transitions, because I'm going through a transition in my life. And it just happened that, just like, you know, life kind of happens this way. You look for what you want to see. And all of a sudden Eric's book kind of fell into my lap and he was agreed to come on to the show. And so, yeah, transitions, there's a lot of pieces in that book that were really helpful for me. I'm going through a transition where I spent a lot of my days in the gym training 3 to 5 hours, trying to be the fittest athlete that I could be to pursue a chance at competing at the CrossFit Games. And since, you know, getting married and more responsibilities and then having a baby and business opportunities, my life has had a little bit of a transition in a different season of life. And to be completely candid with you and the listeners, it's something that I've been worried about for a while. I just didn't know how I was going to handle it. You know, there's a lot of identity that's wrapped up in the things that we do. And so I wanted to make sure, you know, as a mental performance coach and an athlete myself, that I'm not only walking the walk, but I'm talking the talk. And I'm really getting clear on what my identity is and making sure that it's not wrapped up in being an athlete, but it's also, you know, wrapped up per se in being something bigger, which is, in my mind, being a father and being a husband and things like that. And so some of the things I learned from Eric was how to have a healthy transition. Some of the things that he talked to me about was make sure you have the right people around you. One of the mistakes he made was that he would say yes to everything because he was just trying to fill his plate. Yeah. So just being really careful about, you know, the things that you want to do. The quote that my mentor says told me years ago, and it's something I said on the podcast, was your physical peak isn't your peak of life. Your physical peak isn't your peak of life. And I thought this was really cool because when I am pursuing becoming my fittest self in CrossFit, that is one season of your life. But when you get out of that and you transition, your fitness is going to falter a little bit. For those people that played college sports, when you're done playing college sports or even high school, your fitness might fall a little bit because you're not having to be at the school or the weight room every single day. And so it was a great reminder to me that, your best days are still ahead of you. And just because you're not the fittest that you've ever been doesn't mean that you're not the happiest you've ever been. And so for me, that just hit a chord for me specifically that your physical peak isn't your peak of life. So as the 45-year-old or 50-year-old listening, I'm not saying that I don't want you to be in shape. That's not it at all. But what I'm saying is your physical peak days are far behind you, but that doesn't mean that your best days can't be ahead of you.
Yeah, no, 100%, because that's what a lot of, especially college athletes. So I was a college athlete myself, and that's like a lot of the premise behind the show is how can you best transition into that next part of life when you think that, you know, you just had this, you dedicated however many years to that sport or whatever it is, and then like, oh, shoot, what do I do now? And how can you apply all those lessons into that next phase of life? So that's good. It has to be tough, though, especially for a CrossFit athlete, like, because you're so tapped into that physical, you know, the physical part of it. It's like, how is that? Yeah, that's not, the better days are out of you, like you said. So very cool to hear, man.
If I can just jump in, the piece from the mental performance side that I want to echo for people that are going through a transition or they anticipate a transition coming in their life is to make sure you're very clear on separating the who and the do. Separating the who and the do. So who you are, Joe, is not what you do. So you do podcasts. You're a podcaster just like myself, but that's not who we are. And so one of the things I try to do, especially with these young athletes in high school, is being able to separate who from do. Because when your identity is wrapped up in what you do, you are one injury away from it all being over, just like Eric Wood. And if you don't have a good relationship between who and do, that's when we see things like depression. That's when we see things like suicide, which is the highest rate in high school athletes that we've ever seen. And some of it is because of the pressure, the expectations, and some of it's just because they can't separate the who from the do. So super important, critical piece for kids and people of all ages is to really make sure that you have a separate identity away from what you do, because we're all much bigger. We have a much larger purpose than what we like to do on Friday night under the lights. So that's something I think that's super crucial. If you want to have a healthy transition, make sure that your identity is not wrapped up in what you do and you have something that you serve or that you're a part of that's bigger than your hobby.
Sure. And that's, yeah, I like that. It's tough though. You know, that's tough when you're like in it and you're the high school and you're like the starting quarterback. So we'll get into that with your book a little bit. But when you're in that, you're like, dude, that's who I am. So that's all I do. And that's everything. So I think that's good advice though. So I love it. Let's talk. So I want to give you the opportunity to talk about your book. Yeah, because it's coming out on April 27th in 9 days, recording this on February 18th or April 18th. The book. So just talk about the process of maybe why you wanted to write a book. Like, you've been doing this for 5-6 years. What made you want to culminate it all into a book?
Oh man, great question, Joe. This is fun. You know, nobody's really asked me on the why yet. So this is fun for me to tackle this. You know, my dad's written a couple of books. I've read a lot of books. I think, you know, a part of me was always had this in the back of my mind of, could I write a book? I mean, how cool would that be? Is it even possible? It's kind of like that same question when I was about to start the podcast, that question of, could I do that? And one thing kind of led to the other. I was lined up with a mentor of mine named Brian Kane, who has been an extremely influential person of my life. And he's a mentor of mine that we worked with really closely. He helped me become the mental performance coach that I am today. I like to say that I stand on the shoulders of giants, and one of those giants being Brian Kane. And I remember being on a mentorship call with him one time. And he's written a couple books as well, more than a couple, actually. He's written almost 40 books. And I said, Brian, what do you think about me writing a book? And he goes, I love it. Let's do it. He said, and I said, let's. And he goes, yeah, let's do it together. And so he walked me through the process on how he can help kind of be a ghostwriter and what that looks like. And next thing you know, my dad and I had a similar conversation. And he goes, well, what if I jump in? And I go, all right, hey, we're better together. So, and we flew down to Arizona, flew down to Scottsdale, Paradise Valley to meet Brian, go to his house. And we spent about 3 hours kind of constructing what the book's going to look like, really starting from scratch on who do we want to serve? What are the things we want to add? Creating the framework. We went through it all. And then we left, and Brian came out with kind of like what I would say just the bones of what the book looks like. And then for about 12 months, almost exactly, my dad and I worked together on putting the meat on the bones and creating what is now coming to be Push the Sled, 7 Skills to Build an Elevated Mindset and Amplify Performance in Any Sport, which, like you said, is going to come out next week. So it was a year-long process, but it first started with making sure that we had a framework, making sure we had a target audience. And one of the reasons, again, why, as I'm kind of babbling here, another reason why I wanted to have a book was to also have something that I can bring to schools. What I'm finding now more than ever, Joe, is the best organizations, specifically in high school, like the top tier programs, they're doing stuff off season. And it's not just weight training off season. It's some mental performance stuff. It's book clubs and things like that. So I wanted to be able to provide value to schools that maybe I can't get to. A school in like a Pennsylvania calls and I can't get it out there. It's like, hey, here's a couple books. We're also going to have a book club discussion guide that goes with it. So ultimately, at the end of the day, it's just to bring more value, try to make it a transformational, not transactional impact, and really change the lives in that kind of that high school realm that we talked about. Because I don't think there's enough out there yet.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. And I don't want to spoil any of the book, because yeah, you got me in on it a little bit, but it does kind of speak to the high school athlete and like what they go through and all around the mindset. You have like so many good principles. Maybe we could just go through, if it's okay with you, I don't want to spoil any of it, but go through maybe some of those principles, like maybe start out with the 7 tactical skills and however deep you want to go in on them. Because I think the first one is awesome and is a huge one of your, like, this is what you revolve, or a lot of your work revolves around this, I think, is the deep curiosity. So maybe if you could just touch on those and like any thoughts on them, how you came up with them, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, man. I would love to. So basically what we needed to do is create a framework. And so mental performance, we hear mindset, we hear mental performance. It sounds really good. I think a lot of people, they know what it looks like to be mentally tough, or whatever word you want to use. But the hard part is going, well, how do I do it? I know what it looks like, but how do I get there? And so that's really what my dad, myself, and Brian wanted to accomplish, was creating the how. And so it's one thing to have these 7 skills that create an elevated mindset that we've created, or that I deem would be get you on the path to be mentally tough. But how do you get there? Well, how do you get there is by doing the drills. So, Joe, what sport did you play in college?
Say it again. I'm sorry, DJ. It broke up a little bit. Say it one more time.
What sport did you play in college?
Baseball.
So you played baseball, right? And in baseball, what position did you play?
So I went into school as a shortstop. I ended up playing everywhere in the infield, like third, second, short, played some right field, DH. Awesome. Yeah. So all over
the place, man. Yep. Utility player. So let's just go with shortstop. So as a shortstop, one of the things you got to be able to do is you got to have lateral quickness. You got to be able to go to second base. You got to be able to go to third base. Lateral quickness is a huge part of your position, right? So we know that the skill you need is lateral quickness. Great. What's the drills that are going to get you there? Well, skater hops, ladders, there's a ton of strength movements, lateral side to side. Those are the drills to develop the skill of lateral speed to ultimately get to the skill set of being a shortstop. So drills create skills, which leads you to attain a skill set. And that's the same way we look at it through mental performance. We have drills that create the 7 skills that creates and attain the skill set to have an elevated mindset. So we talked about, you touched on a little bit. The first skill is deep curiosity. I believe that if you want to be, we'll just throw out the word mentally tough. It's not my favorite word, but it gets used a lot. If you want to be mentally tough or have an elevated mindset, I believe the first thing you need to do is have deep curiosity. If we want to be strong in between the ears, we first need to know ourselves really well. We need to know what trips us up. What are the things we like? What are the things we don't like? What works for us? What doesn't work for us? What's holding us back from being a better athlete? What gives us confidence? What hurts our confidence? Who are we trying to approve? Whose approval are we trying to gain, rather? So some of these questions is how I try to help athletes get to know themselves a little bit better. And I always say the little caveat of, if you want better answers, you need to ask better questions. And so what I do when I start with a team or an athlete is I always start with what's called an MVP process. Originally got this from Brian Kane, so I have to give him credit for that. The MVP process is defining your mission, your vision, and your principles. And the mission is a statement of asking a kid, I literally just did this yesterday at a 15-year-old. I said, as a 15-year-old kid, you've probably never thought about this before, but what's your mission in life? They go, well, what do you mean? What's my mission in life? Well, what I mean by that is at the end of the season, you probably have a banquet, right? What do you want your coach to say about you at the end of the year? Or I'll take a step further. At your 20-year high school reunion, what are the things that you want your friends to say about you there? Or, hey, take it one step further. I know it's going to get uncomfortable, but just bear with me. When you're at the end of your life, and you are underground, what do you want your gravestone to say about you? How do you want people to remember you? And just this question alone, Joe, really gets kids' wheels just spinning in a good way, because they're thinking about what's important to them. What are their values? How do they want to be thought about and talked about? And so we'll come up with three things that they want to be thought of, and that's their mission. Next thing is their vision. And their vision is, what are some of the things you want to accomplish in your life? And I don't just want to hear, what do you want to accomplish during your junior year of high school? No, what are the things you want to do in this 99-year life that you hope to aspire to do? Get that on paper, pen to paper. And then the last thing is the P, it's your principles, just like you saw in the book. There's a difference between living out of principle or living out of preference. And when you live out of preference, you just do things when you feel like it. Like when you feel motivated, that's when I work out. Or when the sun is shining, I go run then because it's nice out. But people that live by principle, they don't give a crap if it's nice out. They don't care if they're motivated or not. This is what I do. This is who I am. So getting clear on what are your principles? What do you believe in? What makes you you? And so that document, that's just half of the document, but that's the MVP process. And it gets kids to be clear about who they are, gets clarity to be how to become the type of person they want to become. And then also I do it with teams. As a team, what's our mission? What's our vision? What are the things we believe in as a team? I believe before we need to step into that first day of practice, Joe, we need to have these types of conversations. We need to talk about how are we going to work together? What's our goal? What's our vision? Because what I found too often is that most places, they just don't do it at all. Or if they do, it's midway through the season and it's kind of like, we should have done this weeks ago. So I like to set up some of these questions and some of these goals and some of these principles before we get started. So everybody's on the same page. Does that make sense, Joe?
It does make sense. Okay. So I want to unpack some of that too, because like everybody in high school, right? You have like a health class. You usually, it's just because you like, I don't know, in that class, you learn about anatomy, all this stuff. And I don't know why I thought of this, but I just want to ask you this. Like, and then you have gym class and everything, but you don't go over mental performance. At least I didn't. So I graduated, what, 10 years ago, 11 years ago. Is that incorporated now more so in like, or I don't know, like, are there programs that are bringing this in? I guess with the whole mental health, I don't want to call it a wave, but like, it's definitely more on the forefront than it was a decade ago. Like, is this being looped into more high schools and this being applied, this type of stuff? You know, hopefully that makes sense.
I would say as far as I know, great question. As far as I know, it's slowly getting involved. And I would say like Texas is probably kind of the first area, just with the facilities and the kind of the money that they have at some of their high schools. They're starting to be able to throw it in. I also have seen now There's a lot of mental performance coaches who are also teachers. So I talked about Brian Kane. He has a mental performance certification, and about there's like 1,000 people that have gone through this. A lot of the people are also high school teachers. And so what I'm finding is that not only are the teachers, you know, teaching their class, they're coaching their sport, but they're also able to throw in some of the mental performance kind of in their class or in their schedule a little bit. So I think it's still very new. But I would say, Joe, if we got together in 10 years, my hope would be that a lot more schools are introducing some of this in a school format, because it's not just for sports. It's not just for athletes. Everybody can get into these seven skills. Everybody can benefit from having an elevated mindset.
Definitely. Yep. Yes. Okay, cool. So those, the seven skills, and I'm curious about this from your standpoint. Like, you have the kid, and in the book, there's a kid that like doesn't want anything to do with this stuff. He's like kind of the cool kid, too cool for school, whatever. And how do you personally try to get through to that kid versus the kid who's like, all right, I'm open to anything, more so willing. How do you work with that kid versus a kid who's more open to the mental performance stuff that you're talking about?
Phenomenal question, Joe. You know, it's so easy to work a kid who is eager, right? They're like, give me more. This is what I want to do. I love it. That's the easy stuff, man. And I have those clients. I'm fortunate enough to work with some high school athletes that they will do anything I say. And every time I call, they're going to pick up the phone. I mean, it's truly impressive on the just the length they will go to create an elevated mindset. But the tough part is working with kids that aren't really yet bought in. And there's kind of three different ways that I like to look at stages of buy-in. So three C's, if you will. The first C is that you're clueless. I don't know anything about mental performance. What is mental performance? I never even heard of that word before, right? And the second phase is, I'm casual. You're like, hey, yeah, all right, man. I'll do your stuff. I'll play your stupid games when you come in and work with me. Like, okay, fine. Maybe I'll read a page of your book. I'm casual about it. Like, whatever. And then the third step is they're committed. And when you're committed, you start to wonder, man, how did I do this any other way? Because now this is the only way I see life. It's the only way I see sports. It's the only way I see mental performance. And so what I tried to do, Joe, is I can't take a kid from clueless to committed. That's too big of a jump. So what I think about is if a kid is clueless, all I'm trying to do is bring you up to casual. If you're casual, I just want to bring you up to committed. I think one of the mistakes that maybe coaches or presenters make is they try to come in and take a group that's an energy level of a 2 out of 10, and they try to bring them all the way up to a 10, and they bring them all this energy and rah, 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 and it's too much. And so what I really try to do with the kids that are maybe a little bit more hesitant is just give them a little bit. Just do this. Let's move the needle just a nudge, just a little bit. And see what happens there and not have too big of expectations. Another just caveat, to be completely honest with you and the listeners out there that are maybe getting into coaching or teaching, is that what I've really learned, man, is that you cannot help a kid who doesn't want help. And as coaches and as people that are servant leaders like you and I, we want to help people. If they're not open to it, sometimes you have to be okay with going, okay, when you're ready, I'm here for you. But if they're not open-minded, it's just not going to happen. And I know that's hard because it's hard for me because I just want to help. But you also got to be okay with stepping away and just going, look, he or she is not ready yet. And that's okay. The third step, as I'm just kind of going through this here, is I want to ask questions. You talked about my kind of like, if I had a tattoo on my body, it would be the words deeply curious, because I just believe that's a superpower. And so if a kid's not into it, right? We talk about what the difference between being into versus in and what that looks like. I think the number one thing you can do as a teacher, as a parent, or as a coach is to ask questions. Stay curious a little bit longer. Sometimes our patience runs thin, Joe, and we're just like, oh, I'm sick of this. I can't get through to this kid and it's just not working and he doesn't even like me, or you start throwing out all these other negative comments. But instead, what type of question could you ask to learn a little bit more about them? How could you stay curious a little bit longer? How long in a conversation could you go just asking questions? This concept is bizarre to people, not you or I, because we're podcasters and we kind of live our days asking questions. But for some people, it's like, what? I just want to give them advice. I just want to tell them what to do. I want to tell them this, all that. Just for a moment, if you're having trouble, if you're a listener out there, you're having trouble getting through to somebody, try asking questions, and not just one question, ask a series of questions and just see what happens. See what kind of connection you can make with the student or with the athlete. And my guess is that you asking the questions, staying curious, will take you further than what it would be saying, he's not for me, it's not going to work. Stay curious. Don't jump to giving advice.
Mm. A lot of good stuff in there, man. A lot of good stuff. And I was listening to you on another podcast episode. You were talking about some of those questions and trying to pull them up, but there were specific ones that you're like, these are the really good questions that you can ask. So next time we do this, we'll get into some more of that. But I know I want to respect your time here, so I'll ask you one or two more questions. But okay, good deal. So you're talking about like bringing a kid up from, let me see, you said clueless to casual, and like you just want to get them dialed up a little bit. And I know one thing you talk about is measurement too, right? Like measurement creates motivation. How do you measure that then? Because this is something that I'm curious about. Like it's not really tangible, right? It's like, all right, maybe the kid's stats are better, but how do you think about that? Like, how do you measure these things?
Yeah.
Versus maybe the kid's just happier. I don't know. Maybe that's the only measurement you need, but I don't know.
Sure. So just to clarify, are you asking how do we measure mental performance? Is that the question?
Yeah. So I didn't really clarify that. Yeah. But how do you measure the mental performance? Like if he is moving up that, the buy-in scale or whatever you want to call it, like, do you track it personally, or is there anything that you would suggest kids to do to measure that and the stuff they're doing?
Yeah, there's a lot in here. I'm so glad you asked this question. This is a huge question, especially for people that want to get into mental performance coaching. One of the things you're going to be asked consistently is, how do we know that it's getting better? You go into a weight room one day and you bench 225, and then you work out all summer, and now you're benching 245. It's really easy to see that I've gotten stronger. But how do I know that I've gotten stronger between my ears? How do I measure that? It's a great question. I think there's a couple different ways to do it. First and foremost, you need to get away from the scoreboard. I'll repeat that. You need to get away from the scoreboard. If you got it, if you receive or you work towards an elevated mindset and your record gets worse, that doesn't mean you're not mentally stronger. Separating those two is crucial. Some coaches are under the belief that, hey, if we bring in this mental performance coach, we're going to win more games. That's not the objective. Is it a byproduct? Sure, it could happen. Definitely. But is that the pure goal? No. The goal is to create a more elevated mindset so these kids are better not only in their sport, they're better in school, and then they're better when they leave your program. That's the big focus here. It's not just getting wins and losses. That's a whole nother topic of conversation, being able to step away from the scoreboard, focus on the process over the outcome, which is one of my skills. But how do we measure this stuff, right? A couple different ways. First way is to know, how do you know if you did a good job at a presentation? How do you know this stuff is working? Well, first, the athlete's going to tell you. If they feel different on the court, field, or the platform, that's number one. If they want to continue to talk to you, like if they come reach out to you and say, I want to do another session, this stuff is working well, let's keep going, then it's working. I never, ever, ever schedule a session with a client. I just say, when you want to reach back out, we'll do another one. And that way it's all player-led, not coach-fed. Player-led, not coach-fed. If it's coach-fed, it's just me saying, do this, and then we're going to meet at this time. No. I want you to have some ownership. I want you to have some buy-in. I want it to be player-led. So that's another way to think about it too, is how do they talk to you when you're not around? Are they scheduling sessions with you? Do they want more from you? Or do they seem kind of like, yeah, I'm good? There's a lot you can tell a little bit more from like emotional intelligence, more EQ there on if it's working or not. But one of the things I say in the book about measurement creates motivation is, and this is huge. This is something that I truly believe everybody listening should download this app. It's truly a hack. The app is called Habit Share, and Habit Share is a simple way for you to track your habits and to track what's most important to you. I originally got this concept from a guy named Marshall Goldsmith. Marshall Goldsmith is an amazing human being. He wrote the best-selling book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. He has a documentary on Amazon Prime. This guy travels all over the world. He's the number one executive coach on the planet. I had him on the podcast. I said, hey, man, what's the number one skill that you're teaching some of the highest performers and some of the most wealthiest people on the earth. What are you doing? And he goes, it's simple. He goes, I'm doing a checklist. I said, what do you mean you're doing a checklist? Like I'm expecting him to say something like super grand. He goes, no. He goes, every day it starts with me. Every day, my assistant calls me at 5 p.m. at the end of every day. And she asks me, hey, Marshall, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? And rolls through about 20 different items. And some of them are super simple, Joe. Did you do your pushups? Did you drink your water? Did you take your vitamins? And he gives his answers back. And he's got somebody that's keeping track of it for him. And that's easy for him because he has somebody that calls him. But that is what I got the idea from. That's where Brian also got the idea. And then we found this app called Habit Share. And like I said, it's a free app. I use it. All my athletes do it. Every team I work with, they do it. And it just is a long list, or it could be short. But what are the things that are most important to you that you need to get done every single day? We know that there's power in gaining compound interest and getting 1% better every single day, thanks to James Clear, gets you 37 times better than when you started 1 year later. So all we're trying to do is gain these little wins day after day after day. And you do it by hitting this green check mark. I have some simple ones. Make your bed. I have another one of drink 100 ounces of water a day. It's nothing crazy. And if I do it for 1 week, it sure as hell ain't going to make a difference. But if I do it for 10 years, watch out. It's going to start to compound. It's going to start to add up. And so Habit Share is a great way for kids. And then there's some fun things too. There's some accountability, right? I can see their list. They can see mine. If I'm falling short, they text me, hey, bro, get on your game, man. And so it's a fun way for us to go back and forth because measurement truly creates motivation. So Habit Share has been something that's been a huge unlock, especially for the group of athletes I work with, that 15 to 18 year old range. It's been really fun. So yeah, I'm a huge proponent of Habit Share. Hopefully that answered your question.
That's cool. Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. Habit Share. Yeah, you talk about it in the book, so go check out the book. But yeah, Marshall Goldsmith. That's cool. Cause I was looking at some of the, what is it called? Endorsements or some of the people that gave you, you know, go pick up this book, whatever. Brian Kane, Marshall Goldsmith, Justin Sewitt, Sean Casey, just some of the interesting people you've had on your podcast. So that's awesome to hear, man. It just speaks to the work that you're doing. You know, you're genuinely interested in this stuff, and otherwise these people wouldn't be giving you endorsements and you wouldn't be writing the book. So that's pretty cool. Well, listen, like I said, yeah, want to respect your time. Appreciate you coming on and just sharing a little bit. I know we would like to get into your book a little bit more, but I think all these principles are interweaved throughout it. So if you could just let people know like where to pick up the book, where to order it before hopefully the 27th, please do.
Yeah. Joe, again, thanks for having me on the show, man. This was a lot of fun. I look forward to continuing to listen to some more of your episodes. So the book, Push the Sled, 7 Skills to Build an Elevated Mindset and Amplify Performance in Any Sport. This will be out on April 27th. It's a quick read. It's a fast-paced book. The chapters are really short. We're also going to have some discussion guides and kind of a book club guide for coaches out there that are looking to do a book club with their team. If you're looking for just a single copy, Amazon's probably the best place. But if you're looking for to buy a set for your team or for your school, whatever it may be, you can head over to pushthesled.com, or you can also go to djhillier.com and you'll find it there as well. So if you want to get package pricing and some of the other things that go with the t-shirts and all that fun stuff, pushthesled.com, or you can go to my website, djhillier.com, and you'll get it there. And so I look forward to seeing you guys with the book. And Joe, I hope you enjoyed it, man. It was fun to have you on. Let me just ask you, dude, what did you think of the book, man?
I thought it was awesome, brother. It was good, man. Yeah, it was really cool. Like a lot of the principles were, because it's a story, right? People relate to stories, but a lot of the principles were just interweaved throughout, and you can relate to some of the different characters in it too. And I'm a baseball guy, so one of the people, won't spoil it, that you talked about or what was there to speak to the team was cool. Like legend, what, Cardinals legend, I think. But anyway, the book is awesome, man. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Just getting into this kind of mental performance stuff myself and my curiosity, it was cool. So yeah, would definitely endorse it to anybody going to check it out for sure.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe, man. This is fun.
Cool. All right, DJ. Thanks again, man. And we'll do this again at some point.
My pleasure.